This morning's message is going to focus in on the first five appearances after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will focus on the resurrection and those who witnessed during the first day. There were five appearances, six if you include the guards at the tomb. Not counting them, the first one was with Mary Magdalene. When she first goes to the tomb to help with the planned anointing of Christ's body. Now this would have already been done, but everyone was in a hurry to get him into the tomb before sundown on Friday evening, before the Sabbath started. She sees the empty tomb and runs to Peter and John, who in turn run to and inspect the empty tomb. Mary then returns to the tomb alone. She is very sad and she's weeping. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20, starting with verse 11. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why thou weepest? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now here I have a couple of brief side messages. The first being that prior to his first appearance, Jesus went from the tomb to the heart of the earth. There are certain topics that may seem simple enough, but when you start going and doing an in-depth study, they become much more complicated and involved than one might think. This would be one of them. So my challenge is to give you the main points that are worthy of an entire series of messages, break it down through scripture, get to the point of understanding, and move on to the other appearances that I want to discuss this morning. And I need to do that within about 5 minutes. So here we go. Jesus redeemed all sin on the cross. That includes the sins of everyone who ever died prior to the crucifixion. God cannot accept sin. Sin is not allowed in heaven. Up until the crucifixion, All who died went to Sheol, saved and unsaved. There were two compartments in this place, one called Paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and the other is Hades. The two were separated by a great gulf fixed between the two compartments, or a great chasm. After Christ paid for sin on the cross, the saved could be and were brought into God's presence in heaven by Christ. Believers now go immediately and consciously into the presence of God in heaven. Now for the scriptures. Please just listen, because I'm going to be going through them quickly. And the spot where I'm going is in your bulletin, so that you can go there later if you please. John 3:13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he's saying, nobody's ascended to God yet, not even Jesus. He has ascended down, but he hasn't ascended up, not yet. Next stop, Sheol, Luke 16:22-26. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great fixed gulf, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Okay, so we have two compartments with a huge divide, one for the saved and the other for the unsaved. Next up, Christ bringing those who are saved from paradise to the presence of God in heaven. Ephesians 4:8-10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now for a quick recap. Prior to the crucifixion, nobody ascended to God in heaven. Where did they go? They went to Sheol in the heart of the earth. Two compartments with a huge divide, as seen in Luke 16:22-26. After Jesus paid for all sin, he delivered them from paradise to God in heaven. One last thing. What about the saved going directly to heaven after the sin was paid? For that, we go to 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. This shows that one would go immediately from the body to be in direct contact with the Lord, and amen for that. So prior to the first appearance, he traveled to the heart of the earth, and after his first appearance, ascended to God the Father. Jesus had a lot of business to attend to. Now, what these past 5 minutes or so should have also been made understood is that nobody in the past, present, or future goes to the Father but through the Son. Only one way to salvation, ever. Now, in the past, in the present, future, doesn't matter. Only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So now getting back towards the appearances of Christ, we go to the second appearance. The women that stood by Jesus at the cross, they now arrive at the garden with spices to complete his burial. Now, obviously, Mary Magdalene went earlier to meet with them and help. She just arrived there before they got there. These ladies were greeted by the same two angels in the sepulcher. You can turn with me now to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28, 5 through 10. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. The next scripture reference will be from Luke 24, 15 through 32. While you go there, I want to point out that Mary Magdalene let the apostles know, and then this group of women also delivered the same message. None of the apostles believed any of them. They viewed the message as idle tales of women. Unfortunately, during this time in that culture, women didn't receive a whole lot of respect. There was one, however, who did, and very much so. So much, in fact, that Jesus chose them to appear in front of first. The third appearance was with Peter. The scripture only mentions that it happened. The conversation was obviously very personal and kept private. Found in Luke 24, 34, saying the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And that's all it says. So that brings us to the fourth appearance. He appears to two of his disciples on the Emmaus Road in Luke 24, 15 through 19. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? Jesus was just beaten, flogged, crucified, died, defeated death, secured our salvation by redeeming all sin, resurrected, and now calmly walking down the street, and replies, Yeah, what things? What are you talking about? Interesting. Continuing with verse 19. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Notice that Cleopas says that the women had a vision rather than they encountered and spoke with angels. Also leaving out the fact that they saw, embraced, and talked to the Lord themselves. Continuing with verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. So he gave them one long sermon. He went right straight through all the prophets and he gave them what for. And he was pretty much done telling them what he had to say. But he also needed to reveal himself, and that's why he played along with it and he said, sure, I'll have dinner and stay here. So he went in as if he was going to stay. Verses 30 through 32. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us up to the scriptures? Well, you know, no need to hang around. Jesus had people to see. Where and who? The fifth appearance in the upper room with 10 of the remaining 11 apostles. You may remember from Thursday, if you were here, that Thomas was so devastated by Christ's death that he wandered away from the others to grieve alone. So he was off by himself, and the remaining 10 were not just sad and grieving, they were also very, very scared. They were afraid that the Jewish elders were not going to just stop with murdering Jesus, that they would be next. So they were all joined together behind locked doors. Now for this, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 20. Okay. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24. Then the same day at evening, when the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and say unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, also called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So although it took most of the day, Jesus finally met up with his beloved apostles, showed him his wounds, and unlike the first appearance, was allowing himself to be touched. As we see in verse 17, on the same page, not a coincidence, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Why the change, and what happened up there? My quick little lightning round didn't cover this, but it will be the last very, very, very large point that is made during this message. Please turn with me to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, starting with verse 11. But Christ being come on high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So we're talking about a tabernacle that's in the presence of God, not the tabernacle that we had talked about a couple months ago. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled in the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It sums up everything that we've talked about all week long. And there you have it. The presentation of Christ's blood in heaven. His blood in the actual presence of the Father. Scripture talks of a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands. In a recent message, we talked about the sprinkling of animal's blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, which was located in the Holy of Holies during a yearly ritual. This, however, was the real deal and was only required once. The sprinkling upon the mercy seat was symbolic of what was to come. The debt of sin had now been officially paid. Praise God for his perfect word, and may he bless all of you with a closer walk with him.